Welcome to the I Create Daily podcast. I'm Leora Alderson.
And I'm Devani Alderson. We're your co-hosts on this journey of creativity and productivity.
I Create Daily is for artists in every genre of creating, from musicians to writers, crafters to inventors, bloggers to entrepreneurs. I Create Daily is a movement for creators serious about your art.
If you're into creating anything, this podcast is definitely for you. Thank you so much for joining us on this journey. Hello and welcome to another episode of the I Create Daily podcast. This is a movement for creators serious about their art, and I'm Devani.
And I'm Leora. And our guest today is Mark Asquith, a serial entrepreneur who started several businesses which have led to his primary focus today, that of helping other entrepreneurs and podcasters grow their businesses. Mark is co-founder of a podcast hosting company called Podcast Websites, which is the podcast hosting company we use. We interviewed his partner, Kieran McKeefrey, a few sessions ago. And Podcast Websites is an awesome company with everything podcasters could need from A to Z and with the best customer service you could ask for. So Mark is excellent at branding, as evidenced by his fantastic personal brand, Excellence Expected, where he consistently hosts free weekly coaching sessions and the 7-Minute Mentor podcast. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. That's a wonderful introduction.
Bite of the stumbling. So it's like, I want to get it all out because you're doing so much in the world. Your journey has been amazing in so many ways. And in particular from the area, and let's start first with where you're hailing from at this moment. You're in the UK.
Yeah, I'm in Sheffield in the UK, north of the UK. Yeah, right up here in Sheffield and kind of 2 hours away from London. So we're not quite in the mix of things.
Okay, great. Well, there's a little bit of a delay some of the time. So for people listening, just know that, you know, that there may be some delay. That's fantastic that we can speak to each other from around the world, and it's not always perfect, but it's the best we have. So it works. So your journey has been very, in a way circuitous, but at the same time, really direct. So I should say, because you start with your origin story. We know it, we're familiar with it, but our audience may not be, of what started your entrepreneur journey.
So I was kind of the usual corporate story, got a little bit bored of corporate, left that really early at age 23, actually, which is before most people leave corporate. I got a little bit bored before most people do. So that was 23. It was a funny thing, actually. I went instantly from like 20 grand a year to being a contractor, a trainer, a project manager, and a digital kind of expert for the MOD, Ministry of Defence, and so on. And that jumped up to like 150, 200k a year at 23. So I went from like 20 grand a year to almost 10x in my salary. And it was ridiculous. It was silly. It was really silly. I didn't know what to do with that money, and I just got bored of that as well. So it made me realize really early. Okay, yeah, so it was an interesting story. I'd sort of left corporate at 23, which is a little bit younger than most people do when it comes to leaving corporate. I kind of got a little bit bored of that early on, where most people leave it a little bit longer. I sort of made the jump a little bit sooner. I don't know why, really. Just didn't like the control element of it. People were able to dictate what I was allowed to earn and where I had to be and how I had to dress and what I had to do during, what is effectively what 60% of the time that you spend in your life is working. Certainly, any time under the age of 65, you spend all that time. And I thought, how can I spend all this time being told what to do? It was ridiculous. So then I quit the job and then went into contracting, where I get freelance work and I was on a day rate and I was getting paid by the day. And I did digital training, became like a digital expert for things like people like the Ministry of Defence or the Armed Forces, and the National Health Service and some of the banks, some of the big corporates. But I was going back into corporate at, 10 times the amount of money I was on before. So at 23, I went from 20 grand a year to about 180 to 200 grand a year. It was, like I said, it was ridiculous, a silly amount of money. It was valuable because I learned early on that the money is not really the motivator. I like having money. I think anyone that says they don't is lying. I think it's helpful to have it, and I think it gives you the space that you need. And it made me see early on that I only needed a certain amount of money. I didn't need to sell all this time for 150, 180, 200 grand a year. So that's when I stopped doing that. I actually quit that as well. I was like, nah, I'm just going to leave this money. I don't want to do this. And that's when I set up my own web business and went back to earning next to nothing for the first few years of a digital business. So that's kind of my journey in a nutshell. You know, there are lots of more foibles to it, lot more idiosyncrasies and little bits of tales that go on in between that. But broadly speaking, that's what I did. Corporate, then earned a pile of money doing freelance, and then came back to my own business because the money's not really what it's about, you know?
Right. And your side gig became your main gig, right, at some point?
Yeah, definitely. So what I did was I'd set up a web business called Hacksaw. It was actually a brand business. And what happened was we were working all over the world. We were working with Adobe. We were working with the Art Directors Club in New York. We were working with so many people just across the globe. And it was crazy. It was really good. And then I kind of got bored of that as well. I realized that I'd just given myself a job. And on the side of doing that, I'd set podcast websites up. Obviously, I know how to build web. Not that I do that anymore, sadly, but I know how to build web. And I'd set my podcast up, and there was this massive gap around, holy crap, why is it so hard to build this platform if you're a podcaster? Why can't we make this easier? So we set podcast websites up, myself and John, and Kieran came on really early, like day one. And we set that up. And that was a side project, even until August last year, August 2017. That was a side hustle, total side hustle, working on it in spare time. And got it into the real, you know, real good quality six figures per year, just doing 10 hours a week on it. And as you guys said, you know, the support's amazing. Everything's fun. You wouldn't know that it was 10 hours a week, but right. We would 10 hours a week. And that's when the side hustle, I realized that actually I'd kind of built myself a lifestyle prison. This is what I teach people through my brand. I built this prison for myself where the lifestyle that I had and that I enjoyed relied upon the business that I'd put myself in. So I'd given myself a job and couldn't make any changes, because if I did, this lifestyle prison would crumble. It would mean that I'd have to change my lifestyle. I didn't want to do that. I liked the lifestyle that I'd given myself. So I set about leaving one business, the design business, and transitioning fully into podcast websites by changing how I applied the knowledge that I'd built over the last 15 years. So that's the background to that one. You know, podcast websites is now a full-time thing. It has been since August last year. We're just growing daily, which is yeah, kind of fun. So yeah, it was good. It was an interesting transition.
That's awesome. We have a lot of people in our audience they're either freelancing or they're still in a job and they do their art and their creativity as their side gig. And whether like they're doing a marketing company, freelancing for different brands on the side, doing social media on the side, things of that nature. What are some of the 1 to 3 things, or however many points you want to get into, that you would recommend somebody in that position take action on to make whatever side thing they're doing their main lifestyle business, if that's the leap they want to make?
Yeah, good question. So the first thing you got to do is focus on network. Totally focus on network. Build the network, build the network, build the network, build the network, build the network. Just go out there, attend the events, see the people, talk to people, do a podcast, do a blog. Build your Instagram following, but do it in a personal way. Build your network up, because people are going to commission you. It doesn't matter what happens. It's always a person that has the sign off on whether you get the gig or not. Okay, so you've got to just really focus on network. Number two, stick to your goals, stick to your values, stick to your ethics. Be yourself with it. You know, if you're selling yourself as one thing, and then actually after someone gets to know you a little bit more, you're a different thing. That's a game over. It's the rug pulled out from underneath you. So always be yourself. People feel like they have to be quote unquote professional. And there is no such thing as professional. It's just, professionalism is just turning up and doing the things that you say you're going to do when you say you're going to do them and being respectful about it. That is it. You don't have to dress a certain way. You don't have to act a certain way. You just act with decorum and treat people well. That is it. That's the only thing you need to do. But all the other parts of your personality, whether you like the comics or whether you like football, whether you like golf, whether you like tattoos, whether you like Batman, it doesn't matter. That's all part of you as the marketable piece, you know. So you've got to embrace that personality. Don't hide behind this professionalism or put this fake front on. And then the third thing that I say is keep creating stuff. and podcast, artwork, blogs, video, whatever. Doesn't even need to be content marketing. All it needs to be is just really good stuff on a consistent basis. So people can see, oh, this person's experimenting, this person's doing this, this person's doing that. They're consistent. They're going to do this thing for me. You know, so you've got that. They're the three things that I'd say.
So important, especially the consistency. And like, I definitely encourage people to check out Mark's 7-minute mentor sessions, because none of the daily creation has to be like ridiculously long. You don't have to have a 30-minute produced vlog every single day. You can show up, you can create a 7-minute video, you can write a quick article. It doesn't have to be this huge production.
Yeah, you are a wonderful example of consistent daily content creation. Like Devani mentioned, between your podcast and also incredible blog posts as well. We'll link to your blog. You have some very helpful articles, that a lot of which address mindset and awareness. And so from following you for a few years online and seeing some of your content and interviews, it seems to me that a thread that has run through it all for you, through your life, beginning with around age 11, is a growing awareness. It's about consciousness and awareness and application of that. Would that be a fair statement?
Oh yeah, definitely. I think you've got to stay aware of how you are as a person. You know, I'm always trying to develop my own awareness of my own personality and how other people think and the world that we live in. You know, the whole classic power of now kind of scenario. Which is a weird kind of book. It's a weird kind of setup insofar as a lot of it's applicable. A lot of it's kind of really hard to grasp for a lot of people. And that becomes a bit of a development process, you know, learning, especially in this entrepreneurial world, in this business world, people wanting to move from business to business, career to career, freelance to not freelance, and then back again. You end up with this real challenge that you're always looking to the next thing. And I've done that in the past myself. And it's only recently, over the last few years, that I'm actually thinking, do you know what? We should probably just enjoy this. Wow. And that's why I talk about the mindset a lot. It's why I talk about, in particular, talk about things very honestly, like the last two blog posts that I've put out. One is, you know, how we did turn the side hustle into a six-figure business and then move it from the side hustle to the main business. And then today's that I've just published right now is the whole, okay, why was this business imprisoning? You know, what was the box that I'd created around? So you've got to be, I think, you got to be aware that it's all right to be super honest, and not like no one's judging, no one really cares, you know. Everyone's doing their own thing.
Yeah, and that and for you, I think too, it's been. I mean, not just for you, and this is why I'm wanting to talk about this a little bit more, because this is such a human thing. It very much applies to any creator who is putting things out in the world. And what I hear in your journey has been, you know, sort of a questioning of everything that. The status quo, you know, like you talk about the town that you came from and how it is that basically everybody did the same thing.
I mean, you have a company called Excellence Expected that automatically tells people you're not about average results in anything, really.
Yeah,
exactly.
And how you take that concept and apply it to whatever it is you're doing, wherever it is that is. But it's like, so it's like your journey has been, and this is what I love about, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, essentially how you dress, you know, don't, it's like the status quo doesn't define you unless you allow it to. So would you care to speak to any of that?
Yeah, definitely. I think the status quo that you mentioned is only that because it's been there for so long. It's the cliche, you know, why do we wear a tie? Because the guy next to us did. And, you know, why do we do that? Because the guy that had that desk before did. You know, there's no reason for it. It's old traditional kind of social expectation, really. You know, that's what people expect from us. But, you know, what does that mean these days, really? Everyone is kind of cut from the same mold in that kind of world. So applying your own style to most things, whether it's the way you talk or it's the way you turn up and show up, the way you dress, the way you pitch, the way you handle problems, you know, all of that stuff is your own. It's like a fingerprint. It's all your own stuff, isn't it? But most people shy away from that. Most people don't get jobs because they don't fit the square peg that the employer needs. And it's a real, I think it's a bit of a social challenge. I think there's a real big problem out there where certainly in a lot of industries, much less now with the startup scene and all that kind of stuff, that doesn't really matter. It's all performance-based and task-based. But there's still this fear for people coming out of schools, a percentage of people who are still taught to do this thing like this, like it's always been done, whatever that thing is, whether it's going to work in corporate, whether it's going to uni or whatever. And I think the real power now is that we've all got the phones, we've all got devices that allow us to create things quickly, where we can put our own style and we can put our own stamp on things. Mm-hmm. And just embracing that and teaching your kids to do that and express themselves and be that person. And teaching your nieces, your nephews, and your friends' kids, and your friends, because they don't quite get it. You know, I think that's our responsibility to be able to do that. You know, and you've only got to look at like the whole YouTuber thing. What do you want to be when you grow up? A YouTuber? Like, how's that even a thing now? And it's because expression is all right. Everyone's happy with people doing that these days. So why are we still taught to earn a living? We've got to do this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very interesting challenge, I think, that the society is facing.
Do you feel that you personally have mastered or come close to mastering just being completely okay with being so non-status quo according to what the world thinks? And then sort of a second part of that question is, are there any circles that you run in now where you feel like you still have to level up, or there's something that you feel insecure about?
It's a funny one, actually. It's a funny one. In fact, just give me 1 second, guys. For some reason, I'll start answering that question in a sec, but my next meeting has just changed the appointment, and I want to make sure that they're not just turning up.
No worries.
That's totally fine. This is life, guys.
Yeah, that's right. It's real time.
What's just gone on there? I don't know what's gone on there. Let me just sort that. So sorry, because they'll just appear on the Zoom and it'll be a nightmare.
No worries.
We'll pause it. All right.
Good question about the status quo. So yeah, I'm comfortable with that. You know, I'm comfortable with that. It takes a while to get comfortable with it. And I think it's only the last few years that I've become comfortable with it. And it definitely acts as a filter. People do have preconceptions based on how you turn up and how you are and how you talk and how you deliver things. But it's kind of nice. It pre-qualifies them, you know, from our side. It's cheaper marketing. Pre-qualifies people. If they don't want it, that's fine. They don't want it, that's good. It saves us a bit of money. But yeah, I get it with some circles. You know, there's still certain conferences that I'll turn up and I'll dress a little differently. I might smarten up a little bit. And that's mainly because, actually, it's a funny one. It's usually because people in that scenario are already taking in so much information that if they had to get over another fact, it would probably disengage them. Mm. So what I mean by that is that they would, they're turning up to a conference and they expect everyone to be kind of in the same vein and so on and so forth. And you want your content that you're delivering to be absorbed as quickly and as evenly as possible. So if they've got to get over the fact that actually you are going to show up a little bit differently, that actually can be a bit of a blocker. It's not to say that I'd change everything that I do, but I just might take my hat off. I might just not wear a hoodie. I might just wear a t-shirt. Right. And it's only little things, but it's like the degrees to which you'll go to the lengths that you will go to be yourself. You know, you just roll it back a degree and then you roll it back a degree. That's what I mean by that.
Yeah, it's sort of like taking your hat off at the dinner table. It doesn't change you as a person or who you are or what you're going to talk about. It just means, hey, this is one of the societal rules that's kind of acceptable to keep in mind.
Exactly.
Yeah. So excellence expected, like that sums it up. It sums up what you do and what you teach. And it just is such a profound statement that really it invokes it in yourself and those whom you associate with daily.
It makes it so part of your life, because it's not like, I'm achieving excellence. It's excellence is expected every day now.
And you do, like, I think one of the things that you may have garnered from, or else it's just part of your personality that you gleaned from your corporate years, is that you are very productive, very prolific, and consistent. Mm-hmm. So like every week, every day we get emails from you. Every week you got you offer the free coaching to your tribe and you have to ask me anything, you know, on this coaching session kind of thing. So, any of that you could elaborate on, like how, because a lot of creators struggle with consistency, you know, and that's something that you have nailed down. And it seems to me that, again, part of that is that you've invoked it in your life by your thought process, by your mindset, and by what you say you want to do.
Yeah, it's it's a constant struggle, you know, to stay updated with things. There's always so much more that I want to do. I actually don't think I create that much stuff when it comes to the Excellence Expected brand. And certainly for podcast websites, we could create a heck of a lot more. But you've got to kind of pick your tasks. You've got to pick your battles a little bit. You know, there's certain internal tasks that require your attention that you have to get done that you just can't let slip, you know, product dev, marketing, and so on and so forth. But when it comes to kind of the consistency side of things, you've just got to pick something and stick to it. You know, my things that I stick to are, I'll do one good, solid blog post per month. I'm not going to do one a week right now. I might do a little bit more in the future, but one a month. I'll do a podcast every day. Actually, from the 1st of April, that's going to be Monday through Friday, no Saturday and Sundays, just because people struggle to catch up, I think. And then the free coaching every week, you know, that's just nailed on. It's the one thing that people know that I'll be doing. Boom, there it is, there it is, there it is. And I might have 4 or 5 weeks off a year because of circumstance and holidays and so on and so forth. But for the most part, you're there every single week. So I think you've just got to find something you can be consistent with. Like you guys said earlier, it doesn't have to be 30 minutes a day. It doesn't have to be an hour a day. It can be 2 minutes a day, you know. Doesn't need to be much. Doesn't need to be much. It just needs to be there. You know, you've got to pick what you're delivering and why as well. You can't just turn up and do a live about making your breakfast or do a podcast about something that isn't going to help people. You've got to do something that's going to add value.
Right. Do you do anything that helps sort of along the lines of envisioning or vision boarding, you know, projecting your future, like where you want to be? Because back as the youth that you were in the town that you grew up with in, rather, you couldn't have imagined speaking on the stage and being featured on places like entrepreneur.com and The Guardian, and it's like being recognized as a global expert on anything, you know, on the world stage, so to speak, probably, at least not as a youth growing up. You forged that for yourself. So do you use and incorporate any kind of envisioning process for yourself, or, you know, in the past or now?
Honestly, not really. It's more about how I want to feel with things. Like I like stuff, you know, I'm a bit of a tech geek. I'll buy tech gear and all that sort of stuff. But overall, I'm not motivated too much by money. Like I said, I like it. And I think everyone needs enough money to not worry. But my thing is I'll just buy little bits of tech stuff. I just like that. So what I mean by the reason I'm saying that is that I don't want to live on a beach somewhere. I don't want to do any of that. I just want to feel like I can do what I want when I want to do it. And if that looks like it looks today, that's cool. If it doesn't, fair enough. But what I do is obviously I set goals, I'll set visions for the year, for the next couple of years, but only very broad strokes. You know, there's not like a picture of a boat on a vision board somewhere, or a picture of a first class passenger jet, or anything. You know, there's none of that on there. It's just, I just want to make sure that I'm enjoying what I'm doing. That's the main thing. That might be a little against the grain. You know, I think a lot of people that do it or who have some success are very specific on, okay, I want to do this thing. But for me, it's how I want to feel. I'm specifically keen on, I want to feel like I can do what I want when I want to do it and enjoy doing it, you know?
Yeah, well, no, that's
that makes sense.
Yeah, and it's a great point because when people create, you know, the visioning process or a vision board doesn't have to be a thing to procure. It could be it's best when it is an experience as well. But one of the ways that, I mean, there's never one way, as you well know. And one of the things that you described is, you know, the kind of life you want to have, the experience you want to have. And that's usually when people say, I want the boat or the yacht or the house, what they're really going for is a feeling, yeah, is an experience, is a sense of freedom to live the life they want to live, whatever that is.
Or the lifestyle they think comes with, or the emotions they think come with all of that lifestyle.
And what I like about what you just said, though, is that a lot of people are really struggling with feeling like they don't know their purpose, or that they have to have their purpose in order to proceed. And you wrote an article about that as well, I believe, recently. Would you like to elaborate on how, you know, because what I hear in what you just shared, too, is that if you just do the work you love to do, then, you know, the path becomes more clear and the way unfolds. It doesn't have to be that you already know what it's going to be about, but that's, you know, back to you.
Yeah, again, a really good point. But, and I think the challenge is most people feel like they've got to know what they want to do. And the article I think that you're referencing is that one that alludes to the fact that you don't. You just need to know how you want to feel or what you want to be, how you want to be and yourself. And that's how you can make decisions a little bit quicker. It's how you can make better decisions, I think, is by not figuring out, okay, I want to do this thing. Now, so many people that I know have got confused and really struggled over the last few years with not knowing what they want to do. And you just, you know, that's transient. That changes. You grow up. You don't want to do this. I don't want to go and eat worms and eat dirt anymore because I'm not too. You know, that changes, doesn't it? And it just totally reflects where you are and what you want and how you feel about things. You just got to focus, I think, on, does this thing that I'm doing now give me the things that I need?
Yeah.
And if so, that's great. And it, accept the fact that in 2 years, 3 years, 10 years, 15, 20, it might not do. That might not be the case. And at the same time as that, understanding enough about yourself to not have to worry that you're making the wrong decisions. You know, you've got to know when it's the right time to do what you need to do and move and make the shift, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, such as, you know, questioning things if they don't seem right, whether it's in your own life and the things that you're doing or in those that are imposing things upon you, to always remember to question and hold true to yourself.
So you're, we've established you're very prolific. You feel good about your life. You have awesome companies, from Podcast Movement to Excellence Expected. You guys recently launched a new podcast community platform. You used to have a Facebook group, and now it's the Educational Forum and Education Learning Center. I'm sorry, I'm blanking on the name, but we'll link to it. So are there any areas that you're currently struggling with, whether it's emotionally, on the mindset side, or in business?
Yeah, so what you were referencing there, I think, is the Podcast Success Academy, where we moved it across. So I think the only thing that we're struggling with at this minute is a period of growth. You know, we're very busy, and my time is becoming very, very limited. I mean, super limited. So it's a period of recruitment, finding the right team members for the next 5 years. We've had a big change in that one of the team members is actually leaving to go more freelance and do a little bit of work on that side of things. So it's a challenge. It is a challenge to be able to stay stable through these periods. You know, they happen once a year, where you're going up and up and up, and then there's a pinch point, and then you've got to make some changes, or you've got to go through that period, and it becomes harder for a little while, and then it becomes easy again. So it's just understanding that that's a cycle. I think that's the key thing, is that, you know, physically, emotionally, mentally, and also from a business perspective, it all ties together. You've got to be aware when you're in these periods and deal with it on every front as best you can, you know.
And all the things that you create, what do you love most?
Depends on the day. It's all about just helping people do what they want to do. So I do like the free coaching stuff. I obviously love the podcast. I think the podcast website's platform, I enjoy that. I love that. I think it's great. But it's more the results that that brings for people. When we see someone launching, we just saw Andre launch today, or someone that gets a six-figure sponsorship, you know, that's using the platform, that didn't have a podcast, and they wouldn't have had a podcast had we not helped them. That's a huge thing. We've got a number of people that are really, you know, really leveled up over the last couple of years. So yeah, that's got to be the key, I think, is just helping those people do that thing. And whatever form that takes on any given day, might be the content, might be the platform, might be member calls, might be interviews like this, you know, it could be anything.
Right. Well, along those lines, if someone is listening, doesn't yet have a podcast and is thinking about doing it, are there any, have you seen any people starting podcasts that perhaps it's not the best forum for them? And, or, you know, do you think that basically anyone could start a podcast? Just what are your thoughts on that for someone who's thinking about on the fence?
I think anyone can. The question is whether anyone should. It's really just one of those things where if you're only going into it to make a bit of money, it's probably not going to work out so well. If you're only going into it because someone else is telling you you should get into it, that's not going to work out so well. You've got to want to keep recording this thing. You know, if video's your medium, do video. If writing's your medium, do writing. If live is your medium, do live. You know, you just got to pick the channel that suits your tone and what you're intending and why you want to do it. If you're a hobbyist, do something that's easy. You know, if podcasting's easy for you, then crack on and do it.
Yeah.
There's no right or wrong with it. Those that want to do it and want to do it for the right reasons will flourish doing it. Those that just do it because they think it's easy or quick or makes a bit of money, they're the ones that are going to fail at it. Mm-hmm. So I would say go into it with the right mindset.
Okay, so for people who are interested in it, and, you know, are you saying that they will never make money in it, or, you know, like that, because anyone who's starting anything business oriented, they have to keep in mind a business goal or the, you know, whether it makes sense business wise. So what would you advise in that regard?
Treat it like a business. You'll make money. Treat it like a hobby. It'll cost you money. That is it.
That's a good point. That's a really good.
Yeah. And so to treat it like a business, they would need to do what?
Work. There's no straight answer. You need to do this, this, and this, because it's different for everyone. Audiences are different. Hosts are different. Everyone is different. So the thing to do is you've got to, just like I said, just treat it like a business. And whatever that means to you, all businesses are different, from accountants to software companies. They're all very different. So you've got to turn up and show up and do your 8 hours a day and work. You know, there's no getting around that.
Right. Definitely. Yeah. So do you, what people have inspired you in your journey?
Oh, everyone, from parents to friends to mentors, you know, everyone that I can think of, from my granddad to whoever, like Richard Branson. You know, you could pick 1,000 people. I get inspiration from people every single day, you know, people that have started with nothing and built up a business, or people that have started a podcast and secured the first 1,000-book sponsorship. Like, that's inspiring. So it comes from different places every day. There's not one person, there's not two people that I can point to on that one. I take the inspiration from wherever I need it at the time that I need it. And sometimes it hits you out of the blue. Sometimes you'll be surprised that, okay, what's, you know, why does that inspire me, you know?
And a lot of good podcasts.
Yeah, a lot of good podcasts.
And are you, because you're so into the podcasting world, do you read much, or do you do audiobooks, or?
Yeah, I don't listen to podcasts. it's like working in a chocolate factory. Yeah. You know? So no, I did, that's not true. That's a bit flippant. I do listen to them, but I binge them. So I might do a week of really hardcore listening to podcasts. Then I'll be on an audio book for a week, get that done. But I've always got 3 or 4 books. I've always got a personal development or a business book that I can work through. I've always got a fiction book for before bed, so it turns my brain off. And then an audio book for walking and driving. I'm always undertaking 3 books, and then podcasts are, they fill the gaps at the gym and so on and so forth. So yeah, I'm always consuming something.
Awesome. What are you currently reading?
I'm rereading The Power of Now, actually, like I mentioned earlier. That's on my audiobook. I'm reading Star Wars Aftermath, Empire's End. That's my fiction book. Content Mavericks by Andrew and Pete. And I'm reading something else. Oh, Creative Exposures by Brian Peterson, a photography book.
Fantastic.
Awesome.
Okay, we'll definitely put those on our list. In closing, do you have any final thoughts to share to a creative audience of people, from artists, painters, writers, entrepreneurs?
Just focus on creating one fan at a time. It's not about the size of the audience. It's about the quality of the voice that they send back to you. So just create one fan at a time, and then create the next fan, and then create the next fan. You know, 10 people who adore what you do are better than 100 people that are on the fence, you know? So just create one fan after the next. That's all you can do.
Awesome. Okay.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for your story, your advice, your wisdom, and everything that you shared with us today.
And we'll link to the hot dog story in our show
notes. Thank you. Yes, please do. There's a great interview on Inspired Edinburgh.
In fact, that's where I read it, and I've got that link already in our podcast show notes. So that's awesome.
That is the best one. Super stuff. Well, thank you guys. It's been a pleasure.
You're welcome. Absolutely. Thanks, Mark. Take care.
Bye.
Thanks so much for joining us for the I Create Daily podcast. Please let us know what creatives you would like us to interview and what topics you would be interested in hearing more about.
And if you enjoyed this show, please leave a review on iTunes. We value your feedback. We read all the reviews, and it just helps us get the word out on the I Create Daily podcast. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.